extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM.
All right, I hope everyone's had some toast or something because we're about to get very hungry. We're talking about delicious kai this morning. Morena Lucinda, how are you today?
Morena, I'm good. I'm in the studio bright and early. It's beautiful outside.
It is, and we can see the natural light, which is so fabulous. This is a new thing for us here at the moment. We're not alone in the studio, though. We've got MasterChef New Zealand's Alice Taylor. Kia ora, Alice, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. TV on the radio this morning. It is nice to have you up here and talking about a beautiful new cookbook which just came out yesterday, Alison Cakeland. Great name for it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's pretty catchy.
Oh, it's fantastic. Sticks in the brain. It's a good one. We're going to have a bit of a chat about this book today because it just came out yesterday, which is awesome. Lucinda's the right person to be talking desserts with. She is the queen of a sweet tooth.
Yeah,
very excited to hear about how this whole process came about. Obviously, you know, spending time on MasterChef must have been pretty life-changing experience for you.
Yeah, no, it was. Before MasterChef, I was at university. I studied my Master of Politics. I finished like 2 days before I went to audition. I got this opportunity. I always wanted to be in the food industry. I always wanted to write cookbooks. And I just ran with it. I never looked back the moment I got that audition. Not even like before I got on the show, I was just determined to make it happen. And so I went on MasterChef. I always kind of had this bigger goal of not only doing my best, but trying to sort of create a career afterwards.
Mm.
Not necessarily where I placed, but sort of create a longevity of a career.
Yeah.
I got a book deal quite quickly after the show finished, and have just been like running trying to make it happen in the food industry, and I'm really enjoying it.
That's so exciting. You're someone who knows a lot about food writing, Lucinda.
Yes, well, I don't know if I'd say a lot, but I'm slowly becoming a food writer.
Nice.
What's it like writing a cookbook? Because it seems like one of those things that you know, when you're using one as a user, if it works really well, you know it's a great, helpful cookbook. But when you're writing it, what actually goes into the consideration of making something like that?
I think for me, I've read so many books that I sort of have slowly over time dissected what I like about books, what I don't like about books, what I think books might need more of. And so that's all comes into consideration. Like writing a recipe is not just, is it a delicious recipe? Is it effective? Is it considering the cost, especially with the situation that we're in right now with the cost of living? How functional is the recipe? How much time does it take? How much equipment? So these are like, I had a list of things, of requirements, and kind of went through them.
That's awesome. So what were some of your kind of like, you know, framings for you about Alison Cakeland? Obviously, strong title. Is it sweet stuff mostly in this book?
Mostly. It's all baking, but it's like maybe 75% sweet. For me, it was like creating a list of, you know, accessibility. That was my number one thing. You know, I think if you want people to spend $45 on a book right now, it needs to be able to sort of essentially save some money when you're creating desserts in the future. So accessibility, a bowl and a spoon is all I wanted to kind of include. Of course, there's the odd piece of equipment or whisk, but it's very limited. And I wanted to bring back some of the classics. But this is a book that I've been thinking about for, you know, 10 years.
Cool.
So it's kind of an evolution of that as well.
I think you're speaking to the right audience here because we're both big fans of making stuff that requires not having to pull out like an extra thing to do it.
It's so annoying. Even the washing, like I just want to do it in a bowl and, you know, like with one spoon. I don't want to wash up all of the stuff.
No, you want your sweet treats fast.
Yeah, exactly. You do. Like you bake when you have that craving.
Yes.
And so it needs to be fast. It needs to be easy.
What? Sure. Where did the recipes come from for you? What were you kind of drawing on in terms of actually the things you're making in the book?
For me, I think it's my childhood. So what I grew up baking and eating, you can see a real inspiration from Edmonds because I think it's the most exceptional cookbook that's ever existed.
For a reason.
I'll say it forever. It's my favorite cookbook, my favorite book, hands down. So it pulls from that. It pulls from my childhood, who I learned to bake from. It also pulls from, you know, I'm a pastry chef now, so I've worked with like some of the best chefs in the country. So it pulls from the lessons that they've taught me as well. Even though I work in fine dining, chefs have to be incredibly fast and smart with how they work. So actually their lessons are very applicable to this book. And yeah, that's all the inspiration. And as well as like, you know, frozen foods, seasonal foods, again, like different sugars, how can I increase flavor and reduce the price at the same time?
Yeah, totally.
Mm. I've really appreciated your budget dessert series on Instagram.
Thank you. Yeah, like videos on Instagram, I enjoy making them, but they sort of like make me a little bit nervous because I don't want to make things that are like perfect, especially because like my job is in fine dining, so it's like and I don't like that style of baking when I'm at home. It's not my energy. Yeah. So now I'm trying to bring in like budget bakes, being like, oh, actually I can relax about making a video. This is so everyone can make it, and it kind of works both ways.
And that's kind of, I feel like that's how the food algorithm is kind of trending as well on like TikTok and Instagram. It's like people who are making things in their own kitchen, sometimes they're making stuff that looks like kind of gross.
Yeah.
Not that yours looks gross,
but even if it did, it probably, and the stuff would taste good, and that's empowering, you know. It's not meant to be perfect.
I always think about ambrosia as a dessert being one of the most disgusting looking things,
but so yum.
But delicious. It's literally so slop. It's just slop, but it is so fabulous to eat.
Exactly.
So many delicious things are kind of slop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's the best food group, really. Really, isn't it?
Yeah. Slavic. Exactly.
What's a favorite recipe for you? I feel like that's an awful question to ask, but what is a favorite recipe for you from the book at the moment?
It changes over time depending on my mood, but also what the people around me love to eat.
Yes.
So like the raspberry sour cream cake, I love this one on the cover. It's so easy. It's such a like adaptable recipe. So if you have no raspberries, just like don't put them in. It's still great.
Yeah.
Like it's not, you know, it's, the world's not over.
Yeah.
If you have some like fruit off a fruit tree that's like kind of mushy, like that works.
Yes.
So that's why I love that recipe. And also my like partner and my family love that. And then the ginger cake I don't make anymore, but because it's just like a bit, I don't know, like emotional for me, like cooking it.
Because that, that was your audition day.
Yeah.
I'm like super fan over here. I'm like, oh yes, that was Alice's audition.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the cake I auditioned with. But I love that recipe. It changed my life.
Yeah.
And the actual like creation of that recipe and the function of it is like kind of what unlocked this whole like new world for me.
Right.
So I'm very like proud of that recipe, even though I don't make it anymore. It's very good and it's in the book. So
that's awesome. Well, other people can take up the mantle of the ginger cake. I have to say ginger cake is one of my all-time favorites, so that's the one I'll be trying out first, I think. Yes. Where can people get your book from, Alice?
Like literally everywhere, which was shocking
to
me. I was so glad
just walking through the mall
the
and seeing your face.
I went yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? It's in most of your like favorite bookshops.
Awesome.
So all of the ones that you can think of. I kind of say that, so we're supporting all bookshops. But if you have a favorite bookshop, Whitcalls, Paper Plus, Unity Books, the smaller ones, Time Out Bookshop, they've most likely got some copies.
Mm. Oh, fantastic. Well, I really can't wait to get stuck into it. Alison Cakeland from Alice Taylor, who we've got in the studio. Lucinda, thank you both so much. I am feeling very hungry. I have had some toast and that is it.
Cake next.
Cake is next. Cake is absolutely next. Thank you both so much for coming in, and congrats again on your book, Alice.
Thank you.
We will pop a link to it in the podcast for anyone who's trying to find it quickly at home. And we will see you both again very soon.
Thank you so much.
Kakite.
Bye.
Food for thought. Breakfast Food on 95 BFM.